Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now experience the taste and the smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Grady Yonas, pastor of the Gladwin and Marion Seventh-day Adventist Churches. And now, here's Pastor Grady.
This morning, we're going to be studying our Bible together, and my title is, Can My Sins Be Forgiven? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, once again, we come before you, thanking you for this opportunity to open your holy word. Father, we ask that you will grant us your understanding, teach us your truth, help us to open our hearts that we can be receptive to your voice. We ask for the Holy Spirit to guide and teach us. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I must have been 6 or 7 years old when I remember I made one of the worst mistakes of my life. My brother and I didn't love fishing, but we loved playing soccer. We loved playing soccer so much that we just couldn't have enough. We were always kicking a ball around. And one day, just like any other kids, we were playing soccer inside the house. And just like any other good parents, they warn us to watch for what? Windows, furnitures, TVs, right? So that day, my brother was playing goalie, and I kicked the ball with all my strength, and bam, the ball landed on a glass coffee table and shattered it to pieces. Have you ever done something like that? Maybe some of you still remember the feeling to this day. You know, I remember having this knots in my belly. And I wondered, what's Dad going to do? And my mind went straight to thinking about all kinds of punishments and spanking that I'm about to receive. And also I was thinking, how much money do I need to come up with to replace this table? But actually, deep inside my heart, I yearn for the best possible scenario. Can Dad forgive me? Why is it naturally, even in our young minds, that we want to be forgiven when we make mistakes? Even back then, I realized my mistakes separates me from Dad. I knew I did something he didn't like, and I knew that that would impact our relationships. And I wanted forgiveness because I didn't want Dad to get mad at me. I didn't want anything to hurt our good relationship. I wanted forgiveness simply because I love Dad. And that's what it takes. When mistakes were made, it takes forgiveness to restore the relationship that's broken because of them. Forgiveness. Now, how about our relationship with our Maker? Has it been broken? Turn our Bibles to the book of Genesis. Book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. The book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. This is still early in the story. We're still in the creation account. The Bible says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." And we're familiar with the story. Were Adam and Eve given prior warning? Yes. They were given clear command that you shall not eat the tree, the fruit of the good and evil. Now, but just like me, did Adam and Eve heed the warning? No. They conversed with the serpent and finally gave in. Go to chapter 3, verse 6. The Bible says, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate." Right here, in the beginning of the human story, we sinned. We made mistakes. We went directly against what God said. And right at this moment, something shatters. It wasn't just a glass coffee table, but a relationship between God and man. So you could imagine how Adam and Eve felt at this point. I think they had some knots in their stomach too. They were nervous about it. They don't know what God is about to do. Now notice what Adam did. Genesis 3 verse 8. Genesis 3 verse 8, the Bible says, "When they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife did what? Hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." Our natural tendency is to hide from God, especially after we made mistakes. It's our self-protection mechanism. Do we realize that this is what some of us have been doing? That we make mistakes, we sin against God, and then what do? We hide. We run as far as possible from God. But is hiding really what we need? Is hiding really what we need to restore the relationship? No. Forgiveness is what we need. Forgiveness is what will restore our relationship with God. So at this point, this is where we should ask, can God forgive my sins? Can God forgive my mistakes? So just like any other good Bible students, where do we go to find assurance of forgiveness? We go to the Bible, right? We go to the Bible. And by the way, you might want to write some of these references. It's nice to keep them handy. I'm going to share two references that will give you assurance of forgiveness. We'll start with 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. You've read this text before. The Bible says, if we, what? Confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What is the assurance that we can find from this verse? That when we come to the Lord and confess our sins, what is He going to do? He's going to forgive us and He's going to cleanse us. That's the assurance. The Bible says that God is more than willing to forgive us if we confess. Now, here's another assurance. It's found in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 1, verse 7. The Bible says, in Him, in Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. What is the assurance? Where do we find forgiveness? In Jesus. In Jesus, we have forgiveness, period. And if the Bible says it, we ought to believe it. And by the way, these are awesome promises that we can claim right now. We can come to Jesus right now and ask for forgiveness, and the Bible says He will forgive us and He will cleanse us. It's that simple. But let's be real. Let's be real. I wish my faith is as a little child. I wish I could just claim these promises and fully have the assurance of forgiveness. But do we normally do that? Normally we don't. Usually either maybe ourselves or the devil might whisper in our ears and tell us the reasons why we might not be forgiven. See if these sentences are familiar to you. We might say, yeah, I know that's what the Bible says, but Lord, my sins are too great. Maybe you've done one particular mistake that was just too costly. And you're wondering if God can forgive you for that one sin. Have you ever had that thought before? I know I have. Or maybe we might ask, but Lord, I think I have asked for forgiveness one too many times for the same thing. Have I reached the limit of your forgiveness? Has that ever crossed your mind? Maybe you've done the same mistakes over and over and over again, and you've come to Jesus for forgiveness over and over and over again. Will I get to the point where I cannot be forgiven anymore? Or maybe we might reply, but Lord, I am just a sinner. I've confessed every sin I'm aware of, but what about other sins that I don't even know I committed? These are some of the thoughts that you might have. And we're going to spend some time together talking about each of these points. Point number one. The question number one that we might have is, Lord, my sins are too great. Can you forgive them? We're talking about the reach of God's forgiveness. Here's an important principle that I want you to remember. According to the Bible, forgiveness requires a blood sacrifice. What kind of sacrifice? Blood sacrifice. That's taken from Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. The Bible says, without shedding of blood, there is no remission or forgiveness. According to the Bible, whether it's big or small, forgiveness costs the same. What does it cost? The death of the Son of God. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, we find exactly the price of the blood of God, of the blood of Jesus. 1 Peter 1 verse 18, verse 19 says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. According to the Bible, forgiveness is not cheap. The price tag is the precious blood of Jesus. And this blood of Jesus, my friends, is powerful. This blood of Jesus is powerful to forgive us our sins, not just us in 2025, but the sins of the whole human race from the beginning all the way to the end. Now, some of you have studied Old Testament. We're talking about Exodus today in our Sabbath school. You know that in the Old Testament, what do you have to do when you commit sin? You got to sacrifice a lamb. If you're poor, doves, right? You have to make a sacrificial offering. In the Old Testament, you might have come across, you might have had the idea that forgiveness came from the blood of the sacrificial lamb. But notice what the author of Hebrews says. Hebrews 10 verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. And then he goes on by explaining that the only blood that can take away our sins is whose blood? Jesus' blood. So we need to realize that the blood of the literal lamb would not take away their sins. They could be forgiven because it is an act of faith that points to Jesus who will shed his blood on the cross. So get this. When we talk about the precious blood of Jesus, we're talking about a powerful blood that is powerful enough to cover the sins of humanity. If that's the case, Do you think the blood of Jesus is powerful enough to cover our personal sins? The same blood of Jesus that covered the sin of Adam and Eve covered the stoning of Stephen done by Saul, a murder done by Saul. So is the blood of Jesus enough to cover my terrible sins? Absolutely. The blood of Jesus is enough to cover all of them, big ones, small ones. It is enough to cover them all. Think about the blood of Jesus like a blank check. When he died on the cross, he offered it to us. Now, if we receive it, the blank check is now in our hand, and we are to confess our sins by writing it down on the memo. And God will pay everything we owe, whether it's small or big. His blood can cover us. Here's the second point that we're going to deal with this morning. Have I reached the limit of your forgiveness? Oh, Lord, maybe I've repented and I've asked for forgiveness for the same sin one too many times. Have I reached your limit of forgiveness? We're talking about the frequency of God's forgiveness. How often can God forgive us? Now, if you're in this situation, you could probably relate with what Paul says in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, verse 15, Paul says, "For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do." In other words, at this point, Paul was explaining this concept that we know what we're supposed to do, but do we end up doing it? No, we didn't. But we end up doing it, the things that we know we didn't want to do. So we come to Jesus asking for forgiveness again and again and again. And then we wonder, is there a limit to his forgiveness? Short answer, no. There is no limit to what the blood of Jesus can cleanse, or how often the blood of Jesus can cleanse. But there is a time limit. Let me explain. Like we've seen before, whether it's a sin of deception or murder, the cost is still the same. The cost is still the blood of the Lamb. And the blood of the Lamb is sufficient to cover all sins. But there are two limits. How many? Two limits. First, our life is the limit. According to 1 John 1, verse 9, if we want to receive forgiveness, we need to do what? Confess. Forgiveness is granted after we confess. So once we die, we can no longer confess. Thus, our fate is sealed. And we don't exactly know when we're going to die. So that's our first limit. It's not a limit on the forgiveness of God. It's because our life, we can't confess anymore. Here's the second limit. The second limit to God's forgiveness is close of probation. The Bible talks about this in Revelation 15, verse 8. Revelation 15, verse 8, the Bible says, "The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power." And how many was able to enter the temple? No one was able to enter the temple until the seven last plagues of the seven angels were completed. Now, in the Old Testament framework, the temple is where they go to receive forgiveness. It's where they go to sacrifice the lamb. But according to Revelation 15, that sometime in the future, and there's no time limit to this, we don't exactly know where it's going to fall in the timeline of the last days, but we know according to this text that the temple will one day be out of service. And no one will be able to enter the temple, which means there will be a time when all cases will have been decided. You can't switch sides anymore. Everyone will either be saved or lost. So two limits to forgiveness is not something that God is willingly, decidedly choose to do. But number one is our life. When we can't confess anymore, there's no more forgiveness extended. Number two, the close of probation. But the Bible, let me be clear, but the Bible never mentions that God will hold back his forgiveness because we sin repeatedly. Every time we make the same mistakes, if we come to him in confession, he's more than willing to extend that. But you might also wonder, but Pastor, what about unpardonable sin? Can there be a time when we have been living in sin so much that we are callous to it? Absolutely. That will also be a point of no return, according to the Bible. That happens when we are so indifferent to the voice of God or the Holy Spirit that we decidedly close our eyes and ears to his pleading. But then again, at that point, that's not a limit that God put on ourselves. We put it ourselves. We choose to close our eyes. We choose to close our ears. But the fact that you're worrying about it shows that the Holy Spirit is still working in you. If you ever wondered about the unpardonable sin, that shows that the Holy Spirit is still working in your heart. I think the Lord is still speaking to you and you're listening to him. So what is the best attitude? What is the best attitude if we're dealing with this? Hebrews 9 verse 15, the Bible encourages us, as it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not, what's the next word? Harden your hearts as in the rebellion. The Bible encourages us today, right now, while we're still alive, come to Jesus and confess our sins. You remember that old chorus that goes, what can wash away my sins? What's the answer? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The best thing is to come to Jesus today, as often as you need to, while you still have time, come to Jesus. Here's the third point. Now, Lord, what if there are sins that I did not get to confess? What will God do with the sins that I don't even know about? How can I confess it if I don't even know about it? Will God hold me guilty for those sins? Now, we're going to get a little deeper here. We're talking about the type of God's forgiveness. Let me share with you an important concept in the Bible. There are two kinds of sins. How many kinds? Two. Two kinds of sins in the Bible. First, known or willful sin. Known or willful sin. And second, unknown sin. Okay? Let me explain. Known or willful sin is when we already have the understanding of what is right and wrong on a particular subject, but for some reason, we still choose to do wrong. Here's an example. Adam and Eve. Did they have the understanding of what not to do? Yes. Did God make himself clear? Yes. Did they disobey God? Yes, they did. So according to the Bible, that is considered as a known or willful sin. This is the concept that James talks about. James 4, verse 14. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is what? Sin. We're dealing with understanding. The Bible says that we will be considered guilty if we don't do what we know as right. And by the way, only God knows our heart. Only God knows our level of our understanding. And I believe that He will take that into account. So that's a known willful sin. Now there's a second type, unknown sin. What do I mean by unknown sin? It means that we might have done something wrong because we didn't know any better. Here's an example. Maybe for some years ago, we didn't know about the biblical seventh-day Sabbath. And thus, we were keeping the wrong holy day. So, we're clearly breaking one of God's commandments, right? Is that sin? Well, according to the Bible, sin is still sin. Because 1 John 3 verse 4 says that sin is a violation of the law of God. So any violation is still sin in the eyes of God, even if it's done in ignorance. But here's the difference. Here's the question. How does God handle unknown sin? What if we didn't know any better at that time? We're going to go to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 30. The Bible says, truly, these times of what? Ignorance, God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. The Bible says that what is God going to do if we were ignorant about it? He's going to overlook it. It's going to be okay. Now listen to what Jesus himself says in John chapter 15. I find this text very interesting. This is Jesus speaking in verse 22. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have how many sins? No sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Now wait a minute, Jesus. Wait a minute. No sin? Aren't you familiar with the concept that is found in Romans 3:23, where it says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? Did Jesus not know his Bible? But Jesus himself says, you would have no sin. And what does he mean by that? I believe he is referring to the guilt and charges. He's basically saying, if they did not know any better, I would not have charged them with sin. I would not hold them accountable to it. But now, because they know, now because they have understanding, now because I have spoken to them, I'm going to hold them accountable. No more excuses for their sins. Do you see the grace of God in this? Sin is still sin. If we break the Sabbath, even in ignorance, that still costs the blood of Jesus. So don't worry about the sins that were done in sincere ignorance. God will take our understanding into account and He will overlook it, the Bible says. If it's done in sincere ignorance, He's not going to charge it against us. But now say that you're learning more about the truth. You're walking with the Lord, and you will learn about His character and His holiness. And the truth of the matter is, the more you are acquainted with His holiness, the more sins that you will notice in your past life. Now, what are we supposed to do with those? Listen to what the Old Testament says. This is Leviticus. Leviticus 4, verse 27 to 28 says, If anyone of the common people sins unintentionally, okay? Unintentionally, by doing something against any of the commandments of the Lord in anything which ought not to be done and is guilty, or, pay attention to this, if his sin which he has committed comes to his knowledge. Now let's pause there. What does it mean by that? Now we're aware. I know that I've done something wrong, but I didn't know any better then. But now I know that I messed up. Finish the verse. Then he shall bring as his offering a kid of the goats, a female without blemish for his sin, which he has committed. Now, how come that after we understand that we are ought to sacrifice? It's because now we're going to be charged guilty. So according to this passage, what are we supposed to do once we become aware that it's wrong? We're supposed to confess it right away. Go to Jesus and make a sin offering. Claim forgiveness and confess it before Him. When we just now realize of the mistakes that we've made in the past, we are to come to Jesus and confess it to Him. So there you have it. That's our study this morning. I hope the Lord has answered the questions that you might have about forgiveness. But one thing that I'd like you to take away from our study this morning, just this one sentence, that the blood of Jesus covers all sins. Remember that. The blood of Jesus covers big and small sins. It covers infrequent and recurrent sins. It covers known and unknown sins. And that, my friends, is the grace of God. Romans 5:20 says, "But where sin abounded, grace abounded." How much? Much more. Don't let anyone ever tell you that you have fallen too far beyond grace. Because that's not what my Bible says. Any mistakes that we have made is still within the power of the blood of Jesus if we come to Him and confess it. He's more than willing to extend that forgiveness to us. And just because, and I got to give you this disclaimer, and just because the blood of Jesus covers our sins does not mean that we are to continue living in sin. Instead, it should lead us to repentance. But friends, notice this. God loves us. He loves us so much that He's willing to sacrifice His only Son to bleed on our behalf. This is how Steps to Christ describes it. The heart of God yearns over His earthly children with a love stronger than death. In giving up His Son, He has poured out to us all heaven in one gift. God cares about you. He wants to have a relationship with you. And He knows that you've messed up. He knows that you've gone astray. He knows that you've betrayed Him. And yet He still wants to restore that relationship with you. I want to invite you to read this chorus together with me. It's a chorus of one of my favorite songs. Let's read it together. I come broken to be mended. I come wounded to be healed. I come desperate to be rescued. I come empty to be filled. I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb. And I'm welcome with open arms. Praise God, just as I am. Friends, forgiveness is available for us today. And while there's still time, Let us come to Jesus. Let us come to that blood-stained cross and let us accept His forgiveness so we can be restored. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, you know our hearts. You know if there is anybody in this room that has been carrying the guilt of their sins for years, decades. But Lord, I pray today that you will lift that burden up. We want to come to you. We want to cast all our cares upon you. We believe that when we confess, you can forgive us. And when you tell us that we are forgiven, help us to believe it, that we are forgiven, that you will give us a clean slate, a fresh restart, a brand new life. Father, we want to lay our sins on the cross. We don't want to live carrying this baggage anymore. Grant us your forgiveness and thank you for your grace. Thank you for loving us and thank you for forgiving us for all our mistakes. We thank you and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Grady Yonas, pastor of the Gladwin and Marion Seventh-day Adventist Churches. If you enjoyed this sermon, why not visit one of his churches or a church listed near you on strongtowerradio.org? You'll find the Gladwin Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2336 M61 in Gladwin, Michigan, and their worship service begins at 11 a.m. You'll find the Marion Seventh-day Adventist Church at 801 West Main Street in Marion, Michigan, and their worship service begins at 11 a.m. as well. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.